Okay, so what meditation means to me, or how I learn to stop struggling with meditation and start loving myself. So I'll start with a quote. It's not an amusing story about pork, I'm afraid. So the quote is, "The essence of the meditation practice is the confidence to simply be, with no sense that you have to do anything or change anything." So yeah, the confidence to simply be, no sense that you have to do anything or change anything. So this came to be quite fortuitously on Facebook just a week or two ago when I was thinking about this talk. And in a sentence or two, it encapsulates what meditation means to me and some of the points I want to raise in the talk. So many thanks to Lama Shenpen Hukum for putting it so nicely. So I have a story that I'm not much of a meditator. Like all stories, there's some truth to that story, but it is also a fiction. So just to be clear, I do actually like meditation a bit. I have enjoyed it and valued it and look forward to doing it in small doses. It's a gift to myself, to see myself more clearly and take care of myself when I need space and time and silence, away from all the busyness and the bustling and the butterflies of my mind. And it can be about getting in touch with that thing that is pure and still and eternal in myself, and that exists in all things. It is about allowing the truth of that existence to emerge from myself. This truth that I speak of is something that we all carry within ourselves. Of course we do. We're a part of existence. And when we stop, if we just stop all the nonsense and listen to it, we find it right there waiting to be paid attention to, and for us to pay attention to ourselves. So that's what comes up for me. And that's on a good day. On a bad day, meditation can be a habit, an onerous habit, that I really would rather not have. It can be a chore. And that is what it became. Well, actually, had been becoming for many, many years. But up to the point I was ordained, it just became an intolerable habit. And I decided to stop doing it. Or trying to do it. Particularly trying to do it every day. So in a way, it really is as simple as that. One day, I just thought, what am I doing? Why am I giving myself a hard time doing something that I don't really want to do every day, and that I only value occasionally, just because I've been told that it's a good thing to do every day? So I stopped doing it. But actually, it's not all that simple, and that was actually the end of a long journey. So rewind to 1994, I'm in Glasgow. I went to the Glasgow Buddhist Centre, first time I'd ever been to any Buddhist Centre. And I learned to meditate. I learned the mindfulness of breathing, I learned the metta-bhavana, as I'm sure everybody else has. It's interesting what Abhayamati just was telling us and through that exercise, because one of the points I wanted to make is that if you look back to that distant time in oneself, you don't know then what you don't know. Now, it's really obvious, but actually, if you really kind of... I now know a whole lot more than I knew then. So then I'm learning something, but in a way, I'm learning it badly, because I don't know what it is I don't know. So I begin to form habits, I begin to form ideas that actually... maybe misconstrued, it may be, I have to be kind with myself about this, but actually, if I look back, I think, oh, you fool. You silly little fool. I was so much younger than I am now. And that's kind of what happened. But anyway, what I learned was that doing it with others is fine. Doing it on my own, I'm just not interested. I don't care. So when I do it with others, I think actually what occurred to me during that meditation we just did just now is actually I'm not very disciplined. In some respects, I'm not very disciplined. And I'm not very disciplined when I do it on my own. When I'm in a group, I'm disciplined because a group enforces a discipline on me. And that's, in a nutshell, is what goes on. So that's what's been going on all this time. I came along to Buddhism. I wanted an answer to the big questions of life. I found it. And then I discovered that we're supposed to do meditation. That was a message. Oh, and meditation is one of the ways, or a very, 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 very important way in which you're actually going to move towards the answer to the big questions. So I tried it. I tried it again. I tried it. You know, over the years, I tried it. But it didn't. It just didn't happen like that for me. It really didn't happen like that for me. And you know when you really want to do something. I know. There's nothing on earth that's going to stop me from painting pictures, listening to music, reading good literature, talking to friends who I love, and sharing ideas about the big things of life. Nothing's going to stop me from doing that. I just can't. That was not what it was like with meditation. You know, I wanted to stop doing it. You know, I've got here underlined working hard at rewarding tasks. Nothing on earth will stop me from working hard at rewarding tasks. But somehow or another, meditation didn't seem to fit that, didn't fill that bill. So the years passed, nothing really changed. Okay in groups, very difficult on my own. No will to keep doing it. The will only exists when there are others. Time passed. I learnt pure awareness on a retreat at Vajraloka. And that really opened a door for me. That took me into this world of the essence of meditation practice is a confidence to simply be no sense that you have to do anything or change anything. So it really began to show me, oh, there's another way. There's another way of doing this. It was a gift. It was a fabulous gift, really. And I began to get in touch with that stillness and truth, the thing that I described at the beginning. But I've never ever developed a consistent meditation practice, even with the help of pure awareness. I've never ever developed a consistent daily meditation practice. I did it for 4 months on my ordination course at Kukkiloka. Wasn't too bad, it was more or less endurable, but it didn't really mean much to me to do that. You know, there was a lot more about being there that meant a lot more to me than actually sitting and meditating. I just felt like I was following the forms, I was following the rules, I was just doing what I had to do, what you ought to do. Excuse me. And I felt like I was trying to bend myself out of shape, actually. I was trying to do something which I didn't really want to do. And that's a very painful thing to do. If you've ever tried to do that, I don't recommend it. But that is what I was trying to do. I didn't feel as though I was able to say, enough, no, stop, let's try this a different way. And around that grew up quite a lot of shame around it. Shame that I wasn't being able to do the thing that I was supposed to do. The thing that so many other people seem to enjoy doing. And my story... This is where it's a fiction, is that they all did it really, really well, and they got on with it and loved it. Apparently this is not so, but I didn't know that. Anyway, so it's an important part of the story is what other people thought of me meditating or me not meditating. I'm not saying that people put anything on me. I'm saying it's how I looked at it, what I thought they were thinking. Meanwhile, I was learning something about meditation. I was actually meditating on and off. I went on retreats. I came to various centres. I was in various groups, study groups on where meditation went on. So I was actually doing a bit of meditating. And I was learning something about what Lama Shenkin Hokan was talking about. And when I did it, formless practice is what I did, and it made sense of what we're trying to do in meditation. I got a little bit closer to what I thought meditation is really about. And there was a strong thread of integrity through all of this. I knew what I was experiencing. I wasn't pretending. I was talking to other people, my friends and my teachers about it. And what I think is much more important, actually, is I carried on working at mindfulness. I carried on working at ethics, at pondering the Dharma, talking about it, thinking about it to myself, discussing it with my mates, working in the right livelihood. But meanwhile, I was carrying a bit of a story about what it is to meditate, or what I was as a meditator. But I have been wholeheartedly engaged on the Dharma path for many years now. I think it's quite important to kind of plant that stake in the ground. So anyway, all this leads me to the day when I just came back from ordination. I don't know, a month or two or three passed, and I just thought, enough is enough. I'm not going to carry on doing this. I'm not going to carry on pretending I'm doing this. I'm not going to carry on pretending I can do this. I'm going to stop meditating, and I'm going to start telling people I'm not meditating. So there we go. And that actually felt like a very brave move to do, because I'm surrounded by people who meditate and who value meditation. So it's quite a... Yeah. I don't know, I want to give myself a pat on the back for actually doing that, for getting there. I've written something here which I cannot understand because my handwriting is so appalling. Anyway... So all of this record, to me, raises a question of, well, if you don't meditate, what do you do instead, or how do you practice? Well, I've already mentioned mindfulness, ethics, right livelihood, study, spiritual friendship, living at somewhere like Gokuloka for 3.5 years. You know, that's a practice in itself, just living somewhere like that, learning how to give as much as you can. But I don't substitute meditation with another regular timed practice. My life just isn't like that. My life is a spontaneous response to what's going on. That's generally how I do. That's how I paint. That's how I take photographs. I don't, you know, Ratnagosha mentioned in his, you know, easing us into the meditation book, making an intention. It's like, what? What? You know, I guess it works for some people, but that idea just is beyond my scope. Of course I make intentions in my life, but a lot of my life is about just, I don't know, what's happening now, let's respond to it. What I do is I sit for 5 minutes here and there. I need a bit of calm. Okay, let's stop, let's just relax. Where is the body, where is the breath, where is this? Just stop for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I try to do that. I work at the hospital. I get to the hospital. I go and sit in one of the public areas. I sit for 5 or 10 minutes, do that, then I go into my work. That seems like a good thing to do. I think that I quite naturally do what Shenpen Hokum is talking about. I think I have the confidence to simply be on a sort of fairly natural level. I think I came to... That's one of the things I brought to this practice. The confidence just to simply be. Confidence. I mean, what is that? Well, one of the things I think it is that the knowledge that you're fine just as you are. I think that's where confidence springs from. I'm fine just as I am. I also notice that I do mindfulness and I also do metta, two core Buddhist practices. I do them as I go through my life. Mindfulness is very, very intimate to me. It's like, it feels like a nicely, tightly woven undergarment that I, you know, that I with all the time. I'm not saying I'm brilliant at it, I'm not perfect, but it's a thread through most of my life, trying to be mindful. And metta is a very interesting one. I've never got on with the metta bhavana. I don't really get it. And yet when I was learning it, I was in London quite a bit, and I remember being on the tube, and in the tube, you know, you're very, very close. There's bodies all around you, very, very close. And that's a, I found that a great opportunity to practice metta. You've got his arms and you go, oh, he's a human, isn't it, really? You've got somebody's armpit there. It's like the sense of, that's a human. And I found in doing that, metta arrived. This idea of actually just consider the person. And then, of course, you can do that with your friends or, I don't know, people at checkout counters. Just be kind. Really, that's what I do instead. Instead of doing the metta bhavana, I just find opportunities where I can just to be kind. And then doing it, you know, if somebody's looking like they're a bit off, say, are you okay? You know, it's not terribly difficult, but that's, yeah. Coming to the end here. So I've written here, is there a happy ending? And I kind of, well, there isn't a happy ending. There isn't a happy ending like you get in the Hollywood movies. But I had this image of me and meditation walking off into the sunset together. And me sort of saying to meditation, well, actually, you're not too bad. I quite like you after all these years. And meditation said, I think you're fantastic. I don't really. Yeah, I think you're brilliant. I think, you know, I think we can really get on. And I think you're a brilliant meditator underneath it all. Something like that, you know. And we recede into the distance. So, it's been very important for me to give this talk. I'm very grateful to Ratan Negotia for inviting me to do it and for encouraging me to tell it like it is for me and not hold back. So thank you. It's allowed me to think more deeply about what's gone on for me in meditation. And it's also important for me to say this, that meditation is a beautiful, rich, essential practice, very important for a lot of people, including myself sometimes. And if you can do it, and you can do it regularly, daily, or as often as you can, then do it. But if you find it difficult, if it doesn't come to you naturally, if you find yourself turning away from it, struggling, even disliking it, then that's all right. You know, there's not a reason to give yourself a hard time. Be kind to yourself. Don't feel bad about yourself. Don't lose courage or faith in the Buddhist path. There's still a place for you on the Buddhist path if you don't find meditation all that easy. Maybe you just need to be a bit creative in your thinking about what else you do, creative about what meditation is for you, how you can work with it. It's a process, it's an ongoing thing. And you know, maybe one day you will actually find yourself being able to move towards meditation and enjoy it and get something from it. And discover it for the truly wonderful practice that it really is. Mm. So thank you.